Football season is finally underway, and if you play fantasy football, the odds are you probably already hate your team and you wish you could run that draft back again. Well, on FanDuel, you can draft a new team every single week. As for my team, I had to ride Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback for another week. I knew that he would do well, but six TDs? If you're not a fantasy expert, then FanDuel is clearly the place you want to be. FanDuel has something for everybody, and there are more ways to win than ever before. New users get a $20 bonus when they make their first deposit on FanDuel. So come play with me at FanDuel.com/CBS Sports. That's FanDuel.com/CBS Sports.
This is RPO, Rome Price Opinion. Now, here's Jim Rome and two-time Super Bowl champion, Trevor Price.
Here it is, ep number two of the RPO, Rome Price Opinion. Episode number one got off to a great start, and we're back for more. And my man Trevor Price promised that as good as the first one was, he would kill it in the second one. TP, what's up? How was your weekend?
30 high lives in. I'm good. It was great.
That answers that question. Good, man. Good. All right, listen, I hate to say it, but I think my favorite storyline of the weekend was Buffalo Bill Vontae Davis retiring in the middle of a game. Dude just up and left and called it a day at halftime. So first things first, Trevor, in your mind, did this guy retire or did he quit?
He quit. Now, here's the thing, my man. I'm going to tell you the flat truth. Everybody's had that thought. Every NFL player not named quarterback has been like, you know, fuck this, I'm going home. And it's not always about winning and losing. It's about where you are in the pecking order, right? Like, how am I playing? And there's a pride thing when you start getting paid like that. And Vontae Davis, you know, he took one last round. I'm going to take one last ride. But you got on the fucking slow boat to Hades. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and call it a day. And he flat quit. That's not retiring. Retiring would have been Monday, you're going to Sean McDermott's office and say, look, all our quarterbacks stink and none of our guys can block. So I'm going to go ahead and take it to the house. But he didn't do that. He decided, you know what? I'm going to do this thing George Costanza style. I'm leaving now. I've never heard of it. That is quitting. And he'll be forever remembered as a quitter because of it. That shit is sad.
Yeah, listen, I mean, maybe everybody you've ever gone up against or played alongside thought about doing that, but this is the only guy who actually did do that. I mean, if somebody pulled that, Trevor, in your locker room, how would you have handled that?
No, the thing is, it's not my job to handle. Let me tell you something. NFL man, CYA, cover your ass. I didn't quit. He quit. He's not getting a check. I'm getting a check. You can't police other grown men. Remember last week I said, if I need a leader to help fire me up before a football game that I'm being paid to play in, I don't need to be being paid to play in a football game. So that's it. That's his business. He quit. He put us in a bad situation. We will move on from it come Monday. This happened to us once. When I was playing with the Denver Broncos, we had a receiver named Eddie. I forget his last name, but he quit. He quote-unquote quit/retired the night before the game. The night before the game, we're in the hotel getting ready to play Sunday. Eddie said, went to Mike Shanahan. We all saw him in the hallway talking with Mike. He had a look in his face like he was stressed out or something was going wrong. Next day, everybody shows up at the stadium. Where the fuck is Eddie? Eddie said he ain't playing. Okay, moving on. But then it comes out next week. Eddie said he didn't say that. So which one is it? You didn't show up to the game. They said you quit. They said you retired. That next week he's playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I don't know how that thing works, but I'm telling you, we've all had that thought at some point during a season or during a practice. Like, this is not working, and it's too hard a job to do when it's not working for you mentally or psychologically.
Yeah, look, I get it, right? But again, there's a right way and a wrong way, and that's the wrong way. Hey, Trevor, you talking about Eddie Kennison?
Yes, sir.
Well, there you go.
Eddie K. Eddie K said, mm-mm. No, he was literally sitting with Mike Shanahan as we were going to the meeting. We're like, what the hell is this all about?
Right.
Where's Eddie at? Eddie ain't come. Okay, moving on.
All right, so we're in agreement on that. The guy didn't retire. The guy quit. All right. Now, the Jags, Trevor, laid what the late Pat Tillman used to call a, quote, nice, swift ass-kicking on the Pats. Jalen Ramsey did Jalen Ramsey things. Blake Bortles, Trevor, outplayed TB12. So are the Jags now the class of the AFC?
1,000%. And write it down. Write it down. You can try to fake it. You can try to say, oh, well, they haven't done this before. F that. They're the best team in AFC as we sit here right now. The Bortles service quarterback is for real. I don't know what they've done during the offseason. His release is still funny, and his release is still kind of long and loopy. And that wounded duck he threw in the corner to Seferian Jenkins, that was a touchdown because of the play design. Now, here's the thing about the Patriots. Mike Vrabel used to say all the time, when the Patriots won, it's because they're experienced. When the Patriots lost, it's because they were old. Yesterday, they look old and inexperienced, which does not make any sense. And I guess it was the heat. I guess it was 100 degrees. They're not used to it. But some of those kids played at Georgia. So, therefore, it shouldn't have been that big a deal. But the Pats looked bad yesterday. You know, the Pats always lay one of these stinkers out every, you know, once a year on the Cincinnati kind of thing. But remember, they play in the AFC East. They will be fine. But the Jags are for real. The defense is fast. The defense, and know what they are too? They're small. Besides Calais Campbell, that defense always hunt 220 pounds. From safety to defensive end, they all kind of look the same. Huh. And I think that's part of the charm of the way they run their defense. It's not real complicated. You know exactly where everybody's going to be. But can you stop them from getting to your quarterback? Can you stop them from covering your receivers? Can you run the ball past them? Besides a Loch Ness monster that Calais is, everybody kind of looks the same. Like, Telvin Smith is 215 pounds. He's the first of those kind of thin, small coverage linebackers that Jacksonville went with. And now everybody has one. You know, Miami has Kiko Alonso, and the Falcons all look like that. So this is what the NFL is, man. This is what it is. It looks like Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, so Trevor, go back to Blake Bortles for a minute. I mean, are we saying that we can actually trust this guy? Is he suddenly this good, or is the Patriots defense suddenly that bad?
No, but he's not suddenly this good. You know what I mean? It's a little bit as confidence. They paid him some money, so they've given him a year, right? They've given him 2 years or whatever the extension is to say, no, you're our guy. And that frees him up a little bit. I like Blake Bortles coming out of college because he went to UCF near my home. And anytime you pick a big strapping kid like that, right, and he comes from a smaller school, there's something to him, something to his attitude. He's from Florida. He's playing in Duval County. It looks like he's supposed to be the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback. Like, he was born to do that. And I think that's part of it, man. I really believe he's in the best place for him. The defense is rugged. The offensive line has gotten better. They have a running back that's the size of a guard. He didn't even play, right? And this is what they're supposed to be. The funny thing is, when they line up an I formation and they just hand the ball to Leonard Fournette, that shit does not work. But when you have to put Blake Bortles into your defensive game plan as that he might pull the ball in that shotgun running pistol college formation shit, when you have to put that in your game plan, that is a problem. So that's why they average 7 yards a carry doing that and not just lining up like the Patriots do and trying to hand the ball off like a regular offense.
All right, so this dude, you're looking at Bortles, and he looks to you like he was born to be the Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback. Big, strong guy, good arm. What about Josh Allen? Big, strong guy, rocket arm. Does he look to you like he was born to be the Buffalo Bills quarterback?
he was born to be the stool pigeon that he is right now. They are throwing that kid to the wolves. Jim, let me tell you something, man. In this day of scouting, right, in this day of football coaching staffs are like small fucking armies. How do you get that many people wrong? How do you get that many of your offensive linemen wrong? How do you get your corners wrong? How do you get everybody wrong? Are y'all not watching the same tape everybody else watches? But everybody else thought that guy was no good. But you're like, no, he is. Man, look, nobody liked that movie. Nobody liked Jiggly. Nobody liked it. So therefore, the guys that you're picking or signing do not work in the NFL. So they have thrown Josh Allen to the wolves, and I'm telling you, this season, they are the worst team in football, And I don't think it's close.
Trevor,
I
don't think Trevor, it's close. Trevor, weren't you the dude who was comparing him to John Elway for episode one?
No, wait. No, listen. I said they threw him to the wolves. I didn't say he stunk. Man, no, don't say that.
Yeah, but you're saying they've got a whole army. You're saying there's a whole army of fucking coaches who are scouting. How can they get this wrong? Are we talking about him or the guys around him?
The guys around him.
Okay.
If you put Josh Allen in Baltimore, right? He looks like Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco's not all that great right now. You know, Joe Flacco has his own problems. But they are built the same. They throw the ball the same. They are the same. When I said the thing about John Elway, this is what I was saying. He's not skittering in the pocket. He stands there because, look, I need to be able to see the field, so I'm going to plant my feet in the ground like a goddamn tree and try to throw the ball. That does not work when defenders are running at you. So that's what I said about the kid.
Right.
Because when I watch him play in the offseason, he plants his feet in the ground. You know, Mark Sanchez used to skitter around the pocket. Tom Brady skitters around the pocket a little bit. Some guys just kind of like their feet are nervous as their brain is processing information. He's not like that. Maybe because his brain doesn't process it well. I don't know.
Speaking of Brady, moving his feet, did you see him yesterday try to get out and run? That was some of the most painful shit I've ever seen. I mean, Brady might be the best ever, but dude, that guy's not breaking 10 flat in a 40 right now, not at age 41, not when he went to the combine as a kid. I mean, that was almost unwatchable. I've never seen a guy look like that running the football from the quarterback position.
I've never seen anybody run the football like that, period, at any position, right? And so I've never seen that at any level of any position. Even in, like, the Pop Warner League, they let everybody carry the ball once. I've never seen an offensive lineman run that bad at 12 years old. I've never seen it. That boggles my mind that he is a professional athlete. Jim, so, look, I've picked up tennis and golf and all these things, right? And people are like, how are you so good at it? And I say, look, I'm a professional fucking athlete. With 6 months, I can probably figure out anything. Like the rest of those guys you see in the NFL, they're all professional athletes except for him. He's a football player. That's a difference.
Do you see no athletic ability when you look at Brady? I mean, you see the best quarterback ever, maybe, but do you see no athletic ability, pure athleticism?
None. There is no part. But, you know, his arm is strong. Like the touchdown he threw to the lacrosse player, what I like to call him, Hogan, that was a dart. That was a bullet. And he put his core and his legs and threw something like out of a baseball pitching machine, right? So, therefore, he can do that. Can he do anything else? If Tom Brady slid, could I put a dollar up under his feet? If he jumped, could I slide a dollar up on his feet? I really don't know. I don't think I could.
I guess the guy uses his head and his arm, and he's got those two weapons. That's all he really needs. All right, Trevor, six teams are out quickly. They're 2-0. The Bengals, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Jags, and the Rams. So let me ask you this. Of the six, in your mind, who is the most real and who is the most fake?
The Dolphins are not real. We've seen that show before. Listen, Ryan Tannehill was a college receiver, right? That means he was not good enough on his college team to play quarterback. The story how he got to quarterback is kind of shady. He might have slipped his coach $100 or something. Let me try it. So he is really not a quarterback. His windup is weird. He doesn't negotiate the pocket well. And that's funny because he was a receiver in college. So he should be able to run. And for some reason, he can't run even before he blew out his knee, right? The Bucks are not for real. I mean, the Dolphins are not for real. The Bucks are not for real. And everybody in America, including me, wants them to be. We've all seen the Fitzmagic show before. We saw him get paid in Buffalo because of the same thing. And here's what I think is going to happen. He's going to play good enough to put Jameis on the bench. They're going to have to make a real decision next year. Is Fitzpatrick our quarterback? Is Jameis Winston our quarterback? Because they're going to be 8-8. And it's kind of like that. There's that crossroad, 8-8. One of the eights goes right. One of the eights goes left. One of them goes Jameis Winston. One of them goes Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the Bucs going to have to make a choice. And they're going to choose Fitzpatrick. They're going to choose Magic and say, this is our quarterback. Jameis is going to be traded. Jameis will wind up being Teddy Bridgewater or something like that. And Fitzmagic will keep that job. And next year, the Bucs are going to stink. Because we've seen this happen before.
Trevor, so is there...
I would like it to be real, but right. It's not.
No, it's an amazing story. But Trevor, is there any way, like, what's going on here? The guy's got 8 touchdown passes. He ran for another score. He's throwing, I mean, playing home run ball, deep ball. He looks like a totally different guy. Is there any argument that maybe this guy has changed? Maybe this guy is better. Maybe it's not the same old Fitzpatrick.
Nope, because he did it in Buffalo. He did the same exact thing in Buffalo. He played great in Buffalo for a season.
He didn't do this shit, though. He didn't play like this.
Fuck, nobody's played like this.
Right.
Like, who goes into New Orleans and puts up 50 fucking points? Nobody's done this. Nobody's done this. But do not get tricked by the cheese on the mousetrap. Remember last time I told you about the cheese on the trap?
Tell me.
And our offensive line in Pittsburgh took the cheese, and Admiral Akbar was like, it's a trap. This is a trap. This is a trap. I'm telling you. And look, the thing is, I want it to be real. The whole dressing up like D. Jackson and all that, and I want it to be real. But it's not Tampa Bay. It's not.
You got to admit, as good as that dude looked on the field, he looked even better at the podium. That was unbelievable. Yes. All right, so you hit.
Yes.
Right? Right? So you hit a couple of the fakes. Of the 2-0 squads, who is the most real?
The 2-0 ones are weird because Denver, you know, I don't know about Denver, but I played in Denver for a long time. And when you play up in that altitude, you can kick the ball pretty much through any goddamn any upright within any stadium from any stadium. So you don't know which one that is. The 2-0 teams, the judgment's still out, but I'll tell you who's real in the 1-1 teams or the 1-0-1 teams. The Vikings are dead for real. Dead fucking for real. That, I think, is the best team in NFL. Them and the Packers, both of them are 1-0-1, and those are two of the top five team members of the NFL. The other 2-0 teams, you know, I'm not quite sure. You know, the Dolphins stink. You know, you kind of run into this whole thing of – here's the thing, Jim. When NFL teams watch film, they watch the last three games, right? So if I'm going to watch a film and I'm playing the Chargers – I want to watch the last three games because that tells you who a team is. Next week, this time, we will know exactly what every team is going to be. Next week, I will probably be able to tell you what every team's record is going to be. And I think the Vikings and the Packers are both going to have three losses, and they will be to each other. That's
right.
It. Everybody else, we're still trying to figure out.
Let me correct something, Trevor. I said six teams were 2-0. It's actually seven. You reminded me of that when you mentioned the Broncos. Talk about the Rams for a minute. Now, that's a team that you said, look, these guys are going to implode. It doesn't work. Too many alphas, too many stars. The finger pointing will start. They're out quickly. They look good. Are you standing by that? Do you expect the Rams implosion?
I'm standing by it because me, you, Adam Hawk, and some of your clones could beat the Cardinals. I'm telling you, we could beat the Cardinals. With me at quarterback and me drawing the plays, we could beat the Cardinals. The Cardinals stink. The saving grace for them, for the Rams, and if they explode, if they implode, it'll be because they lost a game to the Cardinals or lost to the Seahawks. The NFC West at one point was the worst division in football when I played. Then it got very good, and now it's very, very bad again. That is their saving grace. I do not still see them getting that far because, you know, it's easy to sing when you're beating up on the Cardinals. When you run to somebody, when you have to go to San Francisco and somehow Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G figure out a way to attack your defense and Aaron Donald does not make any plays and all of a sudden they start throwing bombs over Baghdad, you know, Jimmy G and them boys start throwing the ball 45 yards, there's nothing more disheartening to a team that thinks they have pass rushers than a 45-yard bomb. Nothing worse.
Hey, look,
because all of a sudden everybody starts pointing a finger. Was it the coverage or was it the pass rush? And those two units on that team have the biggest, loudest personalities.
Man, I still think they're gonna be fine. I don't see that. I mean, look, I agree with you. The Cardinals are in a really bad way. I mean, I love that hire of Steve Wilks, but they don't look good. They don't look good anywhere on the field. And the sooner they get to Josh Rosen, so we see how he looks, the better. I'm still all in with the Rams. I love these guys on both sides of the ball.
I'm with you on that, Jim. The Chiefs, you know, we talked about the Chiefs, and I told you last week, Patrick Mahomes has no fucks left to give.
All right, so
now he has none.
Explain that. For those who missed Ep 1, and why would you miss Ep 1? You said that last week. Patrick Mahomes has, quote, no fucks left to give. What do you mean by that? And then how do you feel about that guy after seeing what he did yesterday?
Okay, so the same thing that happened to Aaron Rodgers with Brett Favre, right? So Patrick Mahomes watches Alex Smith last year check down the ball every 5 yards and wind up in the Pro Bowl and wind up taking his team to the playoffs. When they got rid of Alex Smith and they said to him, look, we're getting rid of him because you have a scud missile for an arm. And he's like, they're like, we're getting rid of him for a reason because we don't want the ball checked down. So they're like, look, just let your freak flag fly. And he's like, hey, no matter what I do, I can't do worse than this. I cannot do worse than checking the ball 5 yards down the field because anybody can do that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to load this cannon I have for an arm, a literal cannon, and I'm going to throw the ball in the general direction of where it's supposed to be. And one of two things is going to happen. It's going to decapitate a defender or hit my receiver in the hands. And that's what has happened. And he does not care. He has it seems like they've given him a green light. Andy Reid has said, look, go out there and throw 29 interceptions. If you throw 30, I'm going to put you in a bench. That's what somebody has said that to him, because he's throwing balls into windows as fast and as hard as he can that he should not throw. But that's what makes him great. And that's what's going to make him the MVP this year. Hands down, bar none.
Come on. Dude, you already have your MVP 2 weeks in. You've got your MVP two weeks in.
Because here's what happened, Jim. He's going to fuck up a game here in about 3 weeks. Give him 2 or 3 weeks. He's going to have one of these stinkers that he throws 4 interceptions. And then next week, he'll throw 6 touchdowns. And that's what you want a quarterback. And people will look at it. And by the end of the year, his numbers are going to be outlandish. He has that much of a head start on everybody.
Trey, when you look at the Chiefs, how do you match up with all that skill on the outside and that crazy, crazy speed?
You don't. You play 4 deep coverage. You say, look, all 4 yards, as get deep as you can, and we'll just tackle everything in front of us. You have to play kind of like prevent defense, because I don't see how you cover all of them. Nobody can cover Tyreek Hill. No linebacker can cover Travis Kelce. The new kids they got, I don't even know who they are. And then you have to deal with Kareem Hunt running the ball. And another thing people don't realize, their offensive line is very, very good. They are big, and they're athletic, and they're, you know what? And they're in shape, because they're able to keep up with the game as fast as it's going. So as fast as, it's not a hurry up offense, but it's pretty explosive. So when you have explosive plays on the outside, the offensive linemen have to be explosive as well. And that is hard to deal with as a defense. It is difficult to deal with an explosive offense, not on one level, but on all 3 levels, the inside, the outside, and where the quarterback is.
All right.
That is impossible.
Now, Trevor, there was some horrid kicking in the NFL yesterday, and it's one thing for Twitter to melt down on kickers, but bring us inside. What's it like in the locker room when a kicker blows a chance to win a game? Generally, do guys rally around the dude, or do they look at him sideways, or not at all, or maybe does it just matter who the kicker is?
I really don't know, because I played with Justin Tucker, so I never had that problem.
Right.
And I played with Jason Elam. I've never had the kicker fucking problem. But I'll tell you this. What's happening this week is NFL teams are going out and saying, look, if you've ever kicked a football, if you've ever kicked a soccer ball, if you've ever kicked it with your homies, if you've ever kicked it old school, if you've ever kicked a drug habit, we are looking for anybody that can kick ass. Have you ever kicked somebody's ass?
Come on. Right.
We have a spot for you, because what the Cleveland Browns went through is illegal, and I'm not going to pile on that kid. But the one thing I don't want to do doing this is pile on somebody, because that's easy to do. But being a kicker is hard, because I remember Jason Elam told me one time, being a kicker is 7 days of relaxation and then 10 seconds of sheer panic. And that kid panicked. The Green Bay kicker, the Vikings kicker, they showed the replay of when he missed. Before he kicked the ball, he looked up where it was going. Now, anybody that plays golf, listen to this, knows you keep your head down until the ball is gone. He, as soon as his leg swung, he looked straight up. So the ball missed. That is sheer fucking panic. Because it's one thing if it's like, you know, we're losing by 6 at defense and we're at a goal line stand. All 11 of us are going to lose, and likely one of us messed up because someone else messed up. When you miss a kick, that is 100% on you. No worse job in NFL.
Yeah, Trevor, like, for instance, this point about we can't pile on the kicker, why can't we pile on the kicker? I mean, I'm not saying it's an easy job, but they know what they signed up for, and what happened to do your job? Why can't we pile on a kicker? The dude missed 2 extra points and 2 field goals.
Yeah, well, there's variables in it, right? So the snap has to be this way, the hold has to be this way, and then the panic, and then I just think it's easy to do that. Because here's the thing, if the Cleveland Browns had not thrown an interception, if Tyrod Taylor does not throw an interception, they win that game. They win the game. So are we going to pile on him? I just think it's too easy to pick on one person. Now, I will pick on all kickers. I will pick on all of y'all that miss, because you all need to find some way to fix your legs or go get Zlatan, somebody to teach you how to kick a goddamn ball into a goal. I'll pick on all y'all, but I don't want to pick on one, because I know what that shit's like. Yep, I'm going to tell you a story. So the Ravens have this thing called guest kicker, right? And so every week they pick Brian Billick would pick some random player on the team and say, "You're the guest kicker. You're gonna kick these field goals for money." And we'd all bet, right? Everybody would bet $5. He's gonna make it. He's gonna make it. Blah blah blah. So they bring me up there my first year in the Ravens, and because I have a soccer background, everybody's like, "Fuck, of course Trevor's." They see me dribble a soccer ball around practice, and of course Trevor's gonna make it. You know what I mean? So people are betting for me, and there's only like three people betting against me, and there's like $5,000 on the line. I fucking shanked the first one to the right.
From how far out?
Up, it was 15 yards. I've done that. I can do that in my sleep. I can kick a ball 15 yards to an upright backwards. As soon as there's people around me, there's money on the line, I shank the goddamn ball. So I'm not going to do that. I will
Way
pick on all y'all,
up,
but I'm not going
to
pick on him.
Way to clutch up, big dude. You've won Super Bowls. How could you not handle a 15-yard kick, man? You should do that not only in your sleep, but with your off foot. You should kick
right.
that shit left-footed.
I should have been kicking left-footed. And right. there was somebody holding the ball, and it was like, take your time. And I fucking shanked it. I was embarrassed. Like, to this day, it's like one of my most embarrassing sports moments.
God, dudes must have been so pissed. All that money on you, and you couldn't make them 15
it was,
yards
it was
out.
Bad. It was bad.
Trevor, speaking of the Browns, so Josh Gordon gets released. What do you make of Cleveland giving this guy chance after chance after chance and him blowing it again? And did they do the right thing in breaking him off? And let me give you a third part. If you were a GM, would you bring this guy in?
The first thing is them giving him a chance is about, I hope it was about more about him getting his life together and them trying to help him. Because he was a dog when he played now. He, you know, that year that he had in 2014,
right.
he was the best receiver in the NFL. He was built like an outside linebacker and ran like a corner. So that's part of it. So, you know. When you're good, you get all the chances. So we got all the chances. Now, then it became to something like, if we don't help him, who will? So, and I think that's what it became in Cleveland. Him pulling his hamstring doing a promotional shoot was the last straw. And I get why they say, no, it's time to cut bait. We've done all we can. He's not holding up his part of the bargain. And we're not talking about football. We're just talking about being a consummate professional and a good fucking teammate. Now, if I'm a GM from another team, I'm going to kick the tires. Bring Josh in here. If Josh doesn't have weed or cocaine in his bag, sign him. Because if we can fix him, we've done what the Bills cannot do with Vlad Dacoste, made him into an NFL player, because Josh Gordon looks like an NFL wide receiver. We can figure it out. As long as he doesn't get high, we can try to figure it out by helping him help us. That's part of it.
Look,
we can help him.
I don't know how well
us.
You know the guy, but do you trust him not to get high? Can you trust him?
Look, I just need 3 weeks out of him. I just need 3 weeks. You know, if you put him on 3 week contracts, here's your first 3 weeks. Can you stay clean and come to practice every day and kind of do the same things everybody else does? Here's the next 3 weeks. You mess up one of those 3 weeks, then you're going somewhere else, and I'm sure somebody else will sign him. Josh, there's not a lot of Josh Gordons walking the street. All the Josh Gordons walking the street.
Tell me I'm wrong,
Trevor.
I don't think there are any. I don't think there are any Josh Gordons walking the street.
Hell, there's not a lot of Josh Gordons in the NFL.
Right.
That's fact.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean that.
Yeah.
I mean that. I think the guy's that good.
So there you go. So, you know, he will always get a chance. And rightfully so, because of the God-given athletic ability he's gotten. But those chances will start to run out. They will start to run out very soon, believe me.
The Steelers, Trevor, are 0-1-1 without Le'Veon Bell. This is a team that had aspirations, Super Bowl aspirations. They're winless after two games. When is this guy coming in?
A Monday. Today. I think he has to come. He has to come in today. That's $1.6 million gone. The team stinks. He's broke. This is a marriage made. Everybody's going to get egg in their face. Just take the egg and move on, man. He has to come in today, because he sees the team is not that great without him. They're okay. They're not that great without him. They're not awful without him. You know what I mean? So James Conner's done enough for I think the fan base and for people like us to say, you know, they can live without him a little bit. No, the fuck they can't. When you cannot run the ball, when you cannot get 4 yards, 5 yards a carry in slow motion the way he does, picking patience and picking a hole, then you wind up in a shootout with Kansas City, and nobody's going to win a shootout with fucking Kansas City. You have to keep the other offenses off the field. The only way to beat Kansas City, and they're going to play each other again in the playoffs, That's my belief. The only way to beat Kansas City and all these other explosive offenses is to keep the ball. The only way to keep the ball is to run the ball.
Time now for One Man's Fantasy, where Jim and Trevor tell you what one man you have to add to your fantasy team this week.
All right, Trevor, you and I each tell them to pick up that one guy on the waiver wire and add to the fantasy team. But before we tell you who to put a claim in for this week, why don't we take a moment and look back to last week. Last week, I told you to go get Denver rookie running back Philip Lindsay. Start him against the Raiders. What does this guy do? He rushes 14 times, 107 yards. He had a reception. No touchdown, but that performance was good for 15 points in most leagues. So you're welcome. Now, Trevor, had you all add Philip Dorsett of the Pats, start him against the Jags. Not bad, not bad at all. Brady targets him 7 times, and he ends up with 5 catches. Not bad if you're in a PPR league. So now that we've got your attention, Trevor, you go first. Who are you picking up this week?
Keelan Cole, Jacksonville. That shit is real. 7 receptions, 116 yards, a touchdown. And you can kill me or at me if you fucking want to. The greatest catch in NFL history.
Dude.
Not because he caught it, but the way he had to bring the ball over his helmet, stay on his feet, and stay in the bounds. It's the greatest catch in NFL history.
You know, it's funny to say that, Trevor. I was going to say I couldn't wait to find something to try to check you on, but when I saw that play, I thought the exact same thing. I mean, everybody was so quick to say Beckham, Beckham, Beckham. My thought was, damn, I think that's the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life.
Ever. Without question. The catch is one thing, but to have the ball at the end of the ball and then put it around your head and tuck it and stay in bounds and complete everything, grade it, and do it in front of Bill Belichick. Do you see where Bill Belichick was standing?
Yes.
Bill Belichick was standing right where he landed. It was glorious.
There have been some amazing catches on some even bigger stages, but I'm just looking at that catch in and of itself. I've never seen a better play. Maybe we don't say it's ever the greatest catch ever, but I have never seen a better catch than that one.
Jim, if you haven't seen it, it's the greatest one ever.
All right, there you go.
Think about it.
I'm not going to overthink this or that. I'm not digging too deep here, but let me just say what's right in front of me. The baddest, swaggiest dude in the NFL right now, who's only on 20% of all fantasy teams registered on CBS Sports. I'm talking, of course, about Fitzmagic. Ryan freaking Fitzpatrick, the Harvard man, Conor McGregor's doppelganger. Who says you don't get better 14 years in? Look, if you're waiting for this guy to get back, or you're waiting for a breakout game from Matt Stafford or Matt Ryan, just take Fitzmagic this week. Put your QB1 on the pine. The guy's got 8 touchdowns. He's got a pick, and he's got the Steelers on Monday night. Did you see what Pat Mahomes did to the Berg? Go grab Fitzmagic this second. Start him for week 3, and then you can thank me later. It's all about this guy getting the respect he deserves, Trevor. He does. More than you're giving him.
You want to hear the funniest thing? So we have a league in my family, and I have Patrick Mahomes sitting on the bench. I picked Patrick Mahomes in like the 5th round or 6th round or something like that.
That's not too bright,
like,
bro.
And look, ain't know who I'm starting? Cam fucking Newton. Cam fucking Newton.
How you feel about that? How'd that go for you?
Oh, my God, man. What a disaster. And my son beat the dog shit out of me. Like 120 to 86 because I started Cam Newton.
Yeah, and did he have anything to say to you about that? If that kid's acting like his old man.
No, you don't say. In my family, you don't say anything. You just do really awful dances in front of your dad for 5-6 minutes at a time while I stand there and sulk and think about grounding you and unplugging all your goddamn video games out of your room.
No wonder you hit the Miller High Life so hard last week, man. No wonder.
Oh, my God. All right, cases of it.
And now, Price's Picks.
Let's get to Price's Picks. Now, again, if you missed episode 1, this is where Trevor makes a few picks against the spread. Last week, he picked both Monday night games, and he went 1-1. He nailed the Jets +7, but gave it back when he took the Raiders +4.5 at home versus the Rams. All right, big dog, Seattle at Chicago tonight. The Hawks are coming off a week 1 loss to the Broncos. They're getting 4.5, Trevor, on the road against the Bears. Who do you have there?
Okay, Seattle does not have an offensive lineman in its history besides Walter Jones that can block Khalil Mack. In his history, not on his team, in its fucking history. Khalil Mack's on the line on the left side to that same Ifedebi, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, kid that gave up 3 sacks to Von Miller, and he's going to go to work. If the Chicago DBs plaster on the receivers and don't let them play and doesn't let Russell Wilson and the Seattle wide receivers play sandlot football, they'll beat Seattle by a touchdown. Give me the Bears.
All right, you got the Bears. Really quickly, before we go to Thursday night, you mentioned Khalil Mack. I meant to ask you, the John Gruden Raiders are out 0-2. What are your impressions on Gruden and that team so far?
The modern NFL is not what he remembered. He's like, wait a minute, where is Warren Sapp and John Lynch? What they we don't have these anymore. Like 250-pound safeties don't. That's not a thing. He is being outcoached. He's being outcoached because I think the game is. People said the game was on passing by, and I was like, you know, it's football. It's 22 men in an oblong pigskin. No, it's not. It's not anymore. It's tablets and it's RPOs like us, and it's. Defensive linemen who are 215 pounds. It is a different game, and I think it's gonna take him a little bit of time to adjust. And he needs his 6'2" defensive end. When John Gruden was coaching in Tampa Bay, his defensive ends were 6'6". Then he comes to Oakland and says 6'2" defensive end. That doesn't make any sense. Oh yes, it does.
All right. So once again, you've got the Bears -4.5 tonight. So write that down. Then Thursday night, you've got the 1-1 Jets, and they're at the 0-1-1 Browns. I can't remember the last time I said this, but the Browns are favored. Trevor, they're favored by a field goal. Are you throwing in with the Browns? Are they going to get this done, or are the Browns going to brown like they always do? Who do you have Thursday night?
Browns are going to get it done. I'm the new kicker. Like Hugh just texted me just now. I'm kicking because I know how to kick ass. Cleveland is too good to lose to the Jets, period. Defensively, QB-wise, whoever the new kicker is come Thursday night, well, he's going to be kicking for his life. The Browns are built. They're a better roster than the Jets, especially defensive. They have real pass rushers. They have the Myles Garrett kid is for real. He didn't have a great game, but you can see what he is. The linebackers are great. I think the corner, like we said, play last week, the first round pick, he's very good. Tyrod Taylor is exactly what this team needs. He's steady. He is not fantastic. He's not going to go out there and try to out hustle or out sling another quarterback. He's going to do what he does best, which is kind of manage of a ball game and then throw a big ass bomb in the fourth quarter on 4th-and-4.
God, I was going to say
I think they're too good to lose. I think I'll take Cleveland.
All right, so the Browns and 3. You're 1-1 on the season, and Tyrod Taylor, that home run ball he threw on 4th-and-4 was absolutely incredible, but the guy's got to get some help around him. All right, that's episode number 2. Trevor, nice job. Great to have you back. Thank you very much. Have an amazing week, and we will do it again and run it back next Monday too.
Absolutely. And we'll know exactly what everybody is come next Monday. Exactly what they are.
There you go. That's it for the pod. The conversation, though, continues 24/7 on Twitter. Hit us up. I'm at Jim Rome. He's at Trevor_Price. Price with a Y. PRYCE. While you're here, make sure to hit us with a subscription and a review, and we will keep bringing you the fire content every single Monday. Also want to mention, this podcast is now living on the radio.com app and Google Podcasts. So in addition to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and JimRome.com, you can find RPO on the radio.com app and Google Podcasts. Share the podcast, people. Tell your friends. Tweet it. Gram it. Facebook it. Help us push this thing. Appreciate it very much. See you all next Monday. Trevor and I are both out.